Our next guest will be covering for the Salt Lake Tribune, kind enough to join us here on the day before the draft. Probably got his buckets in this morning. Tony Jones with us here. TJ, what's up?
I did not get my buckets in.
What?
Stuff was too busy.
Yeah. I just saw your tweet and your story. You're chasing stories down. The Jazz, and apparently they're not alone, but they've made a phone call to Houston, huh?
Yeah, half the league has made a phone call to Houston because, you know, when one of the best defensive point guards in the league, who also shoots 40% from three-point range, when he's put on the trade market and he's only due $5.5 million next year, he's going to garner some interest. And, you know, Patrick Beverley is he comes cheap and, you know, he really, really, really defends, and other opposing point guards and opposing teams hate him, and he makes threes, and, you know, he fits in perfectly with what the Jazz want to do in terms of having Gordon Hayward and Joe Ingles and Rodney Hood do a lot of the playmaking from the wings while their point guard spots up and shoots threes.
He's affordable and he's a good player. Why is Houston dangling him, or are they dangling him at all, or is this just teams inquiring about him? Because at $5.5 million, and for all the reasons you just said, he seems to be a bargain. Why would Houston and Daryl Morey look to move him?
Well, because they're, you know, rumored to be going after, you know, some big-name free agents. Paul Millsap, Blake Griffin, Chris Paul. So if they are, in fact, rumored to if those rumors are true, that they're, in fact, trying to line up to go after some big-time guys that cost a lot of money, then they have to clear some money as well. Patrick Beverley isn't the only guy on that roster that's rumored to be available. Lou Williams, who's due $7 million next year, he's also rumored to be available, as is Ryan Anderson, the stretch power forward who can really shoot the ball. So, you know, it's one of those things where you got to give a little to get a little for Houston. And if those reports are true, then they're trying to give a little to get a lot.
Talking to Tony Jones here on the Bill Riley Show, Jazz insider with the Salt Lake Tribune. Beverley's younger than George Hill was a year ago. Let's say, you know, the Jazz are the chosen team, although, again, it would be interesting with a conference rival and a team that's not too far behind Houston. Would he be an upgrade over what George Hill was, comparable to George Hill, or maybe not quite as good as George Hill in your book?
Well, the thing is, he's not – the most important thing, what I'm being told, is he's not mutual to George Hill. If the Jazz were to go and get Patrick Beverley, they would still be interested in retaining George Hill, and they could do it because they can absorb Patrick Beverley into the $13 million cap space that they have to use by next Friday, and they can still pay George Hill. Now, if the Jazz were to go out and get somebody like Jrue Holiday or Ricky Rubio or Eric Bledsoe, somebody who is a definitive starter, then yes, George Hill becomes expendable. So from what I'm being told, just in Patrick Beverley's case, if the Jazz were to, in fact, trade for Patrick Beverley, it would not by any means close the door on George Hill.
What's Houston looking for, do you think, in exchange? Draft pick? What are they looking for?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say what they're definitively looking for, but if I'm the Jazz, I'd offer one of 24 or 30, or I'd offer, you know, the Oklahoma City pick next year, which should turn into a first round pick. Or, you know, I'd offer Boris Diaw, who has a non-guaranteed contract next year, so that they can clear space, that more cap space that way. So there are things that the Jazz can offer, in my opinion, without diving deep into their core. And if they have to throw a player in there, then maybe you try to throw somebody like Alec Burks in there. But, you know, in terms of Patrick Beverley, I would think that he can come at a pretty cost-friendly price.
Yeah, obviously that $5.5 million is very friendly. You mentioned a couple of other of his teammates that might potentially be on the trade block as well. We heard all the Lou Williams rumors last year at the trade deadline. He didn't end up coming to Utah. You mentioned Ryan Anderson as well. And the one thing the Jazz don't really have is that great stretch four. Could Dennis be inquiring about any of these other guys, or do you think maybe it's Patrick Beverly and maybe some other stuff later?
Well, Ryan Anderson makes a lot of money. So that would be a little tough. Lou Williams. Quinn Snyder, he's had a real history with him. They really like each other. They have a really good mutual relationship, and I think he'd be awesome for the Jazz in terms of being able to score off the bench. I think the Jazz definitely are looking to see what they can get out of the stretch four market, because they really do need a shooting four to go next to Rudy Gobert. I think that they might look at drafting somebody. Like, if TJ Leaf falls to 24, he's the stretch power forward from UCLA. I think the Jazz would think seriously about drafting him. I think, if Kyle Kuzma is around at 42, I think the Jazz would seriously think about drafting him as well. So I think that they're going to try to make steps and take steps into filling that void as well. It'll just be interesting to see how it all shakes out.
Talking to Tony Jones for a few more minutes here on the Bill Riley Show. At 24 and 30, you don't really know what you're going to get till it kind of falls to you. I threw a poll question up asking people if they thought the Jazz' biggest need was a backup big, was it a stretch four, was it a point guard, or none of the above. Just get me to free agency. And I think we all want to get to free agency, but it's one step at a time. I don't see a lot of these international guys, but there's four guys that are kind of by the mock drafts that are in that range where the Jazz may pick, who I saw play this year, who I like their potential for the next level. Frank Jackson, I like an awful lot. I think he could be a good NBA point guard. Harry Giles intrigues me because he's a big that we didn't see play much because of injuries this year, but he might be in that 20 to 30 range. Jordan Bell and Caleb Swanigan are both there too. I don't know what position Jordan Bell plays on the next level, but I know that he's an energy, rebound, defense. He's a crazy good athlete. So I think those are four guys that fall in that 20 to 30 range. I don't know if the Jazz have any interest. What about you?
Yeah, I think they have interest in all of them. Here's the thing about this draft. This draft is unique because it's deep. And there are guys that the Jazz can potentially get at 24 that last year would have been a lottery pick. If the Jazz drafted Juwan Evans at 24, Juwan Evans would have been a lottery pick last year. Same thing with TJ Leaf. So I think there are guys at 24 that the Jazz can get. I think there are guys all the way down to 42 that the Jazz can get that potentially could come in and help. So I think this is a deep draft, and I think, the Jazz are in a better position than most teams would normally be, at 24 and 30, and the fact that the talent well won't be dry at that time. And, in a lot of drafts, by the time you get to 24 and 30, you're just reaching. And I don't think that's the case with this draft. I think that there are going to be legit options on the board for the Jazz when they're on the clock. And I think that's a good thing.
I know you've written about this week, but has anything you've seen out of Boston and the moves they've made in Philadelphia and the stuff at the top of the draft impacted the Jazz and the Gordon Hayward pursuit, for good or for bad?
It'll be interesting to see how Boston's pursuit of Jimmy Butler and Paul George, how that turns out, and B, if it does affect Gordon's decision-making in terms of whether to stay with the Jazz or go to the Boston Celtics. I do think, in terms of Boston, I think that they may have made a mistake in terms of passing up on Markelle Fultz. I know we've talked about this off air a lot. I mean, we're both very big fans of him and his game, and I think he's absolutely the best player in the draft, and it was tough for Boston to pass up on that. I think in terms of Gordon, I just think, he's either going to stay or he's either going to go. And what teams are doing on the periphery isn't going to make that much of a difference. From what I am being told, he's truly torn on the subject. And I think that it's 50-50 with Gordon, and I think it's going to be really, really close. And I think if the Jazz can figure out a way to solidify their point guard position by July 1st, I think that that's going to help a lot in their pursuit of keeping Gordon.
We'll talk before July the 1st, but, you know, just as we look at tomorrow night, give Jazz fans a name, Tony, at 24 or 30. Give Jazz fans somebody tomorrow night that you think would be a great fit if they keep those picks.
If they keep those fit picks, I think two great fits would be DJ Wilson, the power forward from Michigan, from the University of Michigan, and Frank Jackson, the point guard from Lone Peak and Duke. I think both of those guys, they play with an edge. I think that they're good players. I think that they both, one worked out really well for the Jazz, which is DJ Wilson, and Frank interviewed really well for the Jazz. I think Frank is really explosive from that point guard position, and he has a chance to be a really nice scorer at the next level. So those are two guys. But here's the other thing. I mean, while I'm thinking of those two guys, I'm thinking, hey, Tony Bradley would be a good fit, and TJ Leaf would be a good fit, and Juwan Evans would be a good fit. And, you know, and that's the thing with this draft. I mean, there are just going to be a lot of options for the Jazz when they pick.
Who's the first Hoya off the board tomorrow night?
You know, that was cold, right? You know, LJ, he can go at the end of the first round. I mean, in the second round. At the end, like in the 50s, LJ Peak has a chance to go.
I think we'll see him on a summer league roster somewhere. I don't know if he goes tomorrow night. But
we will definitely see my man LJ on a summer league roster. But, man, that was cold. That was bad.
Oh, man. Well, go get a run in at some point in time and just keep your phone on ring so you can hear it if you're out there running, and we'll talk soon. Sound good?
No problem. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Tony. Tony Jones.